Hi, everyone. It's 1 p.m. on Wednesday, September 17th. Welcome to the Lake Shasta Community Services District Board Meeting. And let's begin with a call to order.
Director Chandler? Absent. Director Cupp?
Here.
Director McIntosh?
Here.
Director Mitchell?
Here.
Director Utech?
Here.
General Manager, would you
read us in the... Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No. Nope. Sorry.
And first up is public comments section. Those who wish to speak on matters within the jurisdiction of the district may do so during this public comment period. State your name and please address your comments to the board. Each individual will be limited to 3 minutes. The public comment portion of the meeting will be limited to 30 minutes altogether. I don't think we're going to run over. If needed, time limits may be extended with concurrence of the board. No person may speak twice during the public comment period. The board may ask questions but may not discuss or take action during the public comment portion of the meeting, except to direct staff to prepare a report or to place the item on a future agenda item. Anyone wish to make a public comment? Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Don Moore. I just had one question, mainly for Rick, when he met with the county on the pot growing problem and the pesticides. And I just wondered if the county said anything about actually doing testing the water and soil and all. They're doing plenty to protect our fire and police. You know, I go along with that. But they say almost nothing about are they taking samples and doing any testing.
Thank you. I think that we'd like to hear that answer.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you asked that question. I neglected to put it in my report. I was tardy for much of the last few weeks, and I neglected to get it in there. I wanted to put it in. We had a rousing discussion at Sigma about that. It actually took up most of the meeting. We got out about 7 o'clock that evening. The county... and the Sigma committee members are very, very concerned about that. The group that's been doing all the work in the valley, Don Walker Walker and Associates, are doing testing out there. They're testing domestic wells out there. And I had a conversation with Matt Parker, who's the county point guy. And he was asking me about the possibility, or I started the conversation. I asked him about the possibility of doing testing for us, as you suggested, I think, at the last meeting. And so we came up with a solution. He called me last week. They're going to test well 10, which is closer to the grows. Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not a production well, you know, so we'll get a good idea there of what's in the water. So they'll regularly test it for the chemicals that they're able to identify out there. I think I explained last time that they don't even know what all those chemicals are, and they're having a real hard time getting labs that even can test the things that they've identified. So yeah, they're taking it seriously. They are doing testing. We're going to take part in that testing also.
Yeah. Well, 10 is good because that catches the southern part of the drainage from those grows, but the northern part is almost totally on top of the Pluto Cave basalt.
Right. Aquifer. Right. And they're testing domestic wells out there.
That's what I was hoping for.
They've done tests. They've done some sampling already. And I haven't heard any results yet of that testing.
Because the Lassen Ranch Aquifer that we're dependent on for 4 and 10, it gets hit from the north, from the Pluto Cave basalt, and from the south, you know, basically the Whitney Creek drainage.
Yeah.
And So it's really critical to do that. I'm really glad to hear
that. So it's on everybody's, it's top of mind for everybody that's involved.
Right, right. Good deal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any other public comments at this point? And of course, you can speak to an agenda item if you wish to wait for the agenda item to come up. Okay, we're moving on to the consent items. Would any board member care to pull or discuss any of the items within the consent item list? Okay, well, I'll start with fire department. Congratulations on the report of wonderful performance from the Lake Chestina fire team that was sent down on strike duty. I have never seen anything like that before myself. Would you care to comment
on that? We've never received those reports. And when you go through the strike team schooling, basically classes, they tell you that you should, but none of the strike team leaders have ever done it for us. So it's really neat to actually get two of them. And we had great reviews. Getting a good review from Carter is a big deal. That's the first one that's in there. He's tough, very, very strict. So proud of that one. Guys did good.
Cool. And at least I usually hope to learn, okay, here's something else we can build on. Did you get any information on an area that you could enhance or build on from listening to the feedback?
Not that I saw. A lot of the things like the superior and satisfactory, that's Carter being satisfactory on the majority of things. But physical condition, that's like his thing. He's now the PT instructor for the Fire Academy, so he's really strict on that. So to be superior in that was good to hear. I didn't see anything in that report that I felt like we needed to work on. It looked like we're doing what we're supposed to do.
Wonderful. That's great. What is your forecast for the rest of fall? I mean, September is still, still in prime fire season. What are you hearing? What are you sensing about for the rest of our fire season this year?
I haven't really heard a whole lot. I've seen some weather reports where they think that Southern California or Central California are supposed to get a lot of rain towards the end of September. If that does happen, I would suspect that fire season will drastically slow down. I'm a pretty bad predictor. The last 2 years I've said that it's going to be slow seasons, and then this season was one of our busiest. So you really never know, but we're staying ready just in case.
Okay, good. And then on the police department, I'm always a little of two minds when I see that we had two felony arrests. One part of me is thinking, good, I'm glad you're on top of that, and the other is, too bad that happens in our community. What is your feeling about that? It's the usual amount, or?
It just varies. We can't come with predicting. We can't predict what we're gonna get a call for somewhere.
No.
One of our felony arrests was a felony warrant that came from a proactive traffic stop of one of our officers recognizing a guy driving down the roads, checking him for warrants, finding out he had a felony warrant, and making a traffic stop. The other felony was responding to a call for service in the middle of the night, domestic violence situation. And the person ended up committing several felonies and fighting with the police, injuring the police, having a gun, and all sorts of bad stuff. So just kind of hit and miss on how people are and when we get the calls.
I hope that person didn't immediately come back to our neighborhood.
Surprisingly, so usually we'll go to like a preliminary hearing for a court case 2 years after it happened. This one, I was at court 2 weeks after he was arrested.
Oh.
And he's actually still in custody, was how bad he did these things.
Well, I guess I'm happy to hear that. Too bad for him, but I'm happy to, I'm happy to hear that for our community and for the people who are involved in that.
Yeah, it always hurts us when people get arrested for some bad things and we hope they stay and they get released 30 minutes later and yeah. People think we're not doing our jobs and it's out of our hands. We're just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, you're not in charge of the entire process.
No.
Just one piece, one piece of it, not the whole thing.
Yes.
So, I'm getting the impression that activity is kind of in the normal range, or the usual range?
For like our normal calls for service, they're a little down from what you've seen in prior years. That's mainly because we just finally got our three officers back. So for most of this month, there's only two of us. Part of it, there's only one of us.
Yeah.
So we're finally kind of getting leveled back out where you'll see most of our calls that we enter come from proactivity, us driving around, not so much the calls that come in just to respond to. So
right.
we'll probably see a little bit more of a rise here on next month's stats, a little bit more than we had here.
Well, I'm glad everybody is well enough to come back to work and that you're not worn down to the nub by being the only person.
I am too.
Person to bargain, it's kind of tough.
Being a chief of nobody wasn't all as cracked up to be. It was exhausting. So.
Yeah, look at him, he's wasting away to nothing.
Exactly. What are the holidays usually like?
For calls for service?
Now, I know there's some vocabulary I'm supposed to stay away from regarding holidays.
Well, yes. Thank you very much for that. It's the funny thing about holidays is it brings some tension and calls for service because that's when family members that usually aren't around show up and people start drinking, alcohol is involved. So that's usually what happens. Chastina, we don't really get too many of those holiday calls. Like I did when we were at the sheriff's office. So luckily people in Shastina kind of try to keep it chill, but it's always a factor when alcohol is introduced and out of town family members don't get along.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from anyone? And I think, that was before the meeting started, and you'll get to it in your report. I was looking at water and sewer departments and news from water and sewer. I know that Tara has had quite a week this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll talk about that during my report.
Okay. All right, good. Anything else you'd like to discuss in terms of the water and sewer report?
No. Something I didn't go into detail in my report was, and Rodney has it in his, we had the tanks cleaned and inspected, and as we expected, they haven't gotten any better. So, once again, it's something that's very, very expensive, and it's going to take a lot of money to take care of, and it's just a matter of getting the money to do that. So we continue.
And getting the money is part of your report.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm looking for a board. Oh, any community members like to make a comment at this point on consent items? Okay, then I'm looking for a board member to make a motion.
I'll make a motion we accept the consent items as presented.
I'll second.
Thank you. So we have a motion and second to approve the consent items as presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 And opposed say nay. Motion carries 4-0. And now for the discussion, the manager's report.
Okay, so right off the top, the funding issues. We're working with the USDA RD specialist, program specialist. Her name is Sia Yang, and I've had several conversations with her and her staff. We're gathering information for them, financial information, the engineering report, the environmental things that we've done. There's a couple of issues that we're dealing with. The USDA is a lender, right? It's like a bank, just like the state Department of Drinking Water. They're lenders. They're anticipating lending us money, so they have to determine our creditworthiness. And they look at, just like when you get a loan, they look at your income and your expenses. And one of the problems that they're having that we're trying to work through right now is what our revenue is. And so the state and the USDA have, their requirements are pretty similar. What they want to see, that what they consider affordable water service is between 1.5 and 2.5% of the median home income, right? So my math is wrong in my report. Just I'll start off with that. So they base our median home income on the American Community Survey, which is census data. And there's the census data that takes place every 10 years, but then they do adjustments, annual adjustments, they look at it again. So right now, our median home income is $77,000 a year. And so based on that, 1.5%, which is the minimum threshold that they consider us creditworthy, the average monthly bill at 1.5% based on the income is $97 a month. Our average bill is $48 per month. So they want to see 1.5%. We're around 0.5, 0.6%. We have other income. We have our unimproved lot income. So they have that. I've been discussing that with them. They have that. So that'll be a consideration. Still doesn't bring us up to where they want to see us. So that can mean a couple of things. It can mean a really, really large match or down payment on the loan, or it could mean that we don't qualify. We may have to look at other sources. We may have to look at commercial lending sources. So then you run into the same problems there. So our revenue is a problem, and you know what their expectations. So I just want you guys to know that. I don't want there to be any surprises. You know, it could work out. You know, they're working with us, and we're trying to solve it. One of the things that they've done is they can look at some past numbers, and one of the numbers that they've kicked out at me that they may be able to use instead of $77,000 is $66,000, which was what it was in 2021. And so that brings the number down to, so I ran it on 1%. So they also are trying to fudge the number down to 1% rather than 1.5%. So that would bring the requirement down to $64 a month, and we're at $48 a month. So it's
a little stretch.
It is. And it's just, you know, we have to figure it out. They're working with us, and they're trying, and they want to help us, and they're trying their darndest. So it's process, and they are continually asking for information from us. Another thing is the environmental studies that were done. All of our stuff that was done through our PER was through the CEQA process, which is the California process, the California mm-hmm. Environmental Quality Act. Mm-hmm. The federal standard is the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA. So when I was working with the previous program specialist, we had talked to the engineers, and they were of the opinion that our CEQA things met the requirement of NEPA. Mm-hmm. I've got a whole new group of people now. And the first thing they said is, we don't care about CEQA, we care about NEPA. So we're working through that. We're working through that. I've got them, and I've told them this is not, you know, what we were hearing originally from the previous specialist, and so we're working through that too. But there may be some things that the CEQA didn't cover that they require for the NEPA process. It depends on what that is, how much it is, how expensive it is. We'll just have to determine that when they come up with that. They're looking at it now. Their engineering staff is looking at it now. And they'll let us know what the requirements, you know, whether we meet it or not. So that's kind of where we're at with that process right now.
Where is this person's office?
Sacramento.
Okay. There used to be a USDA program specialist in Yreka. That person retired, so we dealt with someone from Eureka.
Yeah, that was Daniel.
And now we're dealing with some, and Daniel left
yes.
that employment.
Yes.
And now we're dealing with someone from Sacramento.
Yes.
And is your feeling that this person is willing to, I mean, it sounds like she's willing to work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've dealt with a couple. There's Sia and then a lady named Jennifer Strouch. And I had a Zoom meeting with her a couple of weeks ago, and she's very, very helpful. Very, very helpful. They want to help us, but they have their rules. So, you know, they're trying their darndest. So we'll see how it goes.
Do they ever push back on you to raise your rates? It'll be easier to qualify.
Well, we haven't got there yet. They know that we're in a 5-year process right now. They have all that information that we are. We have 3 more years of rate increases, so which still doesn't get anywhere near what the percentages, you know, what they strictly require. So, yeah.
If the board doesn't mind, I think I'd like to hear, you know, go through the board member technical questions, let anyone who would wish to make a comment on each topic that our general managers bring up, rather than having them go through everything and we're trying to remember where we were. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So any other technical questions for a general manager on this topic of the funding update?
None right now.
Anyone wish to make a comment? Other than, oh dear. Well, okay.
Yeah, I wish it was as easy as the fire guys have it, getting money.
Nothing's easy.
Okay.
All right. So the next topic on your report is CCC specialist training.
Yeah, so I've been beating on you guys for months now about the cross connection control program and how expensive it's going to be, you know, and the options, the various options, and the big expense is the hazard assessment. And you know, that HydroCorp, they were talking about $30,000 a year to do everything for us, which included the hazard assessment, all the record keeping and all that. There's other companies that do the record keeping and the notifications and all, and handle all that, significantly less money. So I found a class for a cross control specialist to training. And so Trevor Lemos, one of our maintenance guys, he's already been through the cross connection control device tester program, so he's certified to do that, to actually do the work on the devices. So I sent him to the class. He's at the class this week. When he passes the test, because I told him you better pass the test, he'll be qualified as a cross connection control specialist. He'll need some more education and some more training, you know, just to be sure that it's done correctly. But he'll be able to do our hazard assessment. In our plan that we submitted to the state, we have until 2030 to complete the hazard assessment. so we have plenty of time. My plan is with him to, so that'll save us a ton of money, him doing that. So instead of hiring somebody to do the hazard assessment and the record keeping, now I'm just looking at vendors to do the record keeping. In HydroCorp, I have a meeting with them tomorrow, as a matter of fact, they can do just that part also. So I'm getting quotes from companies that'll send out the letter that my staff won't have to deal with any of it. And like I say, it's a lot less money to do that. They deal with the testers as the testers do testing with the customers. They deal, and we wouldn't have to deal with it at all, or very minimally, if at all. So that'll save us a ton of money. And it's an ongoing thing. You do the initial hazard assessment. That'll be required to be done by 2030. And then after that, there's triggering events that you have to do. If there's a change in ownership, if there's a new construction, you have to go out and do a hazard assessment on each one of those events. So this truck will be able to do that also. So this will save us a lot of money.
Okay. Any board technical questions?
No.
This will. My question is, so we're going to have Trevor be a cross-connection control specialist. Does that mean that we have fewer staff members to take care of our water system?
We'll figure it out. He's you know, there's another thing that we have is the lead and copper issue. And we have until, I can't remember what the exact date is, but we're limited on time to get that done, where we have to look at every service. We've already identified, I've talked to you guys before, we've already identified all of the ones that are not lead. We've done that. Now we have to look at the rest of them and determine whether or not they're either lead or lead solder. I don't think we have any lead service lines in the district. We may have some copper that's got lead solder in it. We may have that. But we have to figure it out. So what I intend to do is have Trevor, I'll train him up in that also. And as he's doing hazard assessments, we'll incorporate that also. So to answer your question, I think your question is, will we have enough people to do the other work?
Yeah.
I think so. And he's always able to be pulled off what he's doing. We'll break it up. I'll bust the district up into sections and number of customers and whatnot, and we'll emphasize different areas and see how it goes, see how quickly it goes. We've got, over around 1,250 connections that we have, or place connections that we have to check for that. Well, we have 1,274 total connections. There's, I think, 12 of those that are already, we already know that they have. So 1,274 minus 12, so 1,260. Ones that we have to go and assess the hazard.
Okay. Any other technical questions?
No.
Any comments? No? Okay.
Okay.
Department of Drinking Water Inspection.
So every 3 years, the Department of Drinking Water comes out, and Craig Bumas, he's an professional engineer with we're in Region 1, and he'll be here next Wednesday, and he'll start in my office and make sure that we're fully compliant regulatory wise with all of our reports and all that, and we'll go over all that, and then he'll go out and do an inspection of the physical plant. I've been spending a lot of time going over our last inspection and making sure that what they told us last time has been done.
Did we pay attention?
Yeah. And so, some of it has, some of it hasn't, but I think we're pretty good. Their assessment in the past, the guys do a great job of keeping, we have a very clean system, and they tell us that whenever they're here. It's very, very sanitary, and they're very complimentary to us. I've looked back through past reports. It's paperwork stuff. that can be an issue.
So he doesn't take actual water samples?
No. No, he makes sure that we're taking water samples as we should be.
Just so we have paper to show
them. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a bunch of things. There's an emergency response plan that we're required to have. There's events. If we have a broken water main, you know, what do we do? And the notifications, we have to notify customers. If we have a boil water, you know, if we have an event that causes a boil water order, you know, how do you notify people and that sort of thing, and have that all laid out. So I've been working on that, and I'll have that ready for him.
Okay. Any technical questions about that? No? Any comments? Yes.
How do you notify for a boil water?
So several ways. We have emails. We send email notifications out. I think we have about 50% coverage with emails is what we estimated. Ready Siskiyou alerts. I've talked to OES and figured out what that process is. We call and we tell, and they send out, and people that have that app get that notification. We'll put something on Nextdoor. Siskiyou radio. There's a system of 12 low power FM radio stations, 94.7, I think is what it is. We'll put it out on that, and we'll knock on doors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions or discussions from the board?
No.
Well, Monday was the day when accounts were to be paid off.
Can I go through this? So I have.
No, I don't see anything.
I know I have a couple of other things that I want to address. So one of the things, Don, your question. So also, Larry Walker and Associates has been doing regular testing on well 5, and they've been doing that for 4 years now.
Well 5,
yeah. Yeah.
What good does that do?
It's water, it's groundwater. Anyway, I'm just letting you know they've been doing level monitoring and also testing in that well for the past, I believe, 4 years. So talked about the storage tanks a little bit, and yeah, now we, as you started to say, before I rudely interrupted you, I'm sorry. The 15th is when we did disconnect. So Tara has some numbers. I want to let her kind of go over where we started and where we're at now.
Well, I just had the initial number of 150 letters sent out. At that time, we were owed $93,000. So that was mid-August we did that. And then to date, we have 10 off, but we collected about $60,000. So we're still lacking 34, but we were able to collect 60,000 in 30 days or less of what was due.
And we're down, how many?
10 connections that are still off.
Yeah.
But we shut down 44 on Monday. So we went through 34 that worked out a payment plan or paid.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, it's been difficult on these guys. They've been getting some nasty phone calls, and it's they've really been through the ringer this week with this stuff. So it's a training, you know, we haven't done it in a long time, and it's a training process. So we won't have nearly as many next time.
So what would you say was the average number of months that the bills have been unpaid?
Well, I would say average would be two quarters would be, because we had a lot that were just one quarter.
Half a year behind.
Yeah, but then average. We had some that were a year and a half behind. So, yeah, I would say two to three quarters at most would be average.
And of course, our standard procedure is that you offer a discussion of different ways that it can pay off their bill. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would work out what they owe now, what they will owe in the future for the 12 months, and also an estimate of late fees, because they will all incur late fees as they go along. One large number divided by 12 every month. So I'll have to watch each account for the next 12 months to make sure they're paid on the 15th, as they usually got it in writing that they would adhere to that plan. So we'll see.
Well, I want to thank you for taking those angry people at the front window.
It's, it's not just me, but the whole staff felt. The whole staff felt.
Well, thank you then for to everyone for having to face not happy people. But you know, we need the money to do the work
we
to
do.
Keep our system.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So how many payment plans do you think we have?
I have about 12 right now.
12, that we're working with people. So, but it's strict. As soon as you don't follow the payment plan, your water's disconnected.
You're right back to where you were.
Yeah.
Any other technical questions?
No.
Any comments? Yes.
So out of 150 letters of back due, we only had to shut off 44.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good.
Not bad. Yeah, I made a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails for those 2 weeks. I called
higher
and
percentage than I would
everybody.
Expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. The communication helps.
Yeah, they did a great job of whittling that down.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks.
Any other questions from the board or comments from the board? Oh, well, thanks again. That can't have been pleasant to do, but we need the income in order to make the infrastructure improvements that we really need, like cleaning the tanks and getting generators so that we stay online, et cetera. So, okay, thank you. Did you reach the end of the list?
Or
you got more?
I did. That's it.
Oh. Okay. The next item is fire department grant funding, and I'm happy to see you've been busy obtaining grants. And so you have several of them in various stages.
Yeah, so I know there were some questions from the last meeting about one of the grants that we had submitted for. So decided to just lay it out there of all the grants that we have in progress right now. The first one was grants that we submitted for in August through CAL FIRE, Wildfire Prevention Grant. In that one, the plan is to try and abate 350 acres within our community, mostly mowing. So on that grant, we also have a track loader masticator. It's kind of like a bobcat thing with the big old mower on the front, as well as our own chipper. And then that's it's a three-year project. So it pays for the wages for three people. So in the grant, we have about $300,000 for wages for the three people. We have $214,000 for the benefits and all that technical stuff that for the ties to their wages. $2,500 for some contractual that's going to be for our CEQA documents that we would need to provide for the grant. $15,000 for hand tools and PPE, so chainsaws, stuff like that, protective gear. $89,000 for the chipper, $120,000 for the masticator, total of $764,000 is requested. That one, we put a little bit of a match on there. It would be $16,000. We'd be purchasing a trailer to take the masticator around. I've never applied for this grant. It doesn't always open up. It hasn't been open for a couple of years. Mount Shasta City put in for one. Not the fire department, but the city did, and they ended up getting it. So I spoke with their grant writer and got a copy of their grant. Took some tools from that to try and hopefully write a good one. I've tried to find out when they're going to start funding it, but nobody's gotten back to me. So I'm not too sure on that one. But if we got it, it would be awesome. We plan to abate all of the eights, this section, mow it all, as well as the animal section. And then the golf course fingers, all the pieces around Hogan and Palmer. They have like little strips that run up to the golf course and
yeah.
and they go to those roads too that they're not cleaned up at all. We get a lot of complaints about that area.
Yeah.
So we would put that on there as well. Then the next grant was the VFC. That's a grant that I apply for every year. We usually get that one. I haven't heard anything, which I think they're a little slow right now. And this is through CAL FIRE as well. Usually we've heard by now on it. That's a 50-50 match grant. And we usually get PPE and radios through that grant. So this last one I wrote, that's what it included, plus some chainsaws. I do expect that we'll get that though. And then in November, a grant always opens up, the AFG. That one's super competitive. I've tried that for this one multiple years. Never got it on anything that I've asked for, except for the safer part. It's kind of, it's like 2 months after this one. It's an AFG. It's called AFG Safer. So this is just the AFG one. And we plan to put in for an exhaust extraction system into the bay. That way when we fire the engines up, all that carbon monoxide isn't going into the bedrooms and yeah. kitchen and offices and all that. It goes out the building, as well as an air fill station to fill our SCBA bottles, which we have never had. If it's not a high priority, their notice of funding, they put all the different things you can apply for, and then they have different levels of priority on them. If it's a low or medium priority, you have zero chance of getting it. It's not even worth putting in for. High priority, you still don't have a very good chance of getting it. But if these items aren't high priority, I'm not even going to waste my time because the grant takes so long to write that one. And then we'll probably start discussing on just purchasing that exhaust extraction system. I know Rick, he's for it.
That's pretty
I asked him, mildly. Please just let me wait and see if this grant has it on high priority. It's about $95,000. That was when I got bid last time that we put in, which was last year.
So it's probably more.
It's probably more.
In other words, it's going to get done whether or not we get this
grant. Yeah, if we have to fund it, we will, because that is something that we definitely need to do. The air fill station, I would love to have. Right now, we have to take our bottles to the city of Weed, their fire department, and fill them there. We don't go through it a lot. They do when they're training, but other than that, we don't really use them a lot. We use them on our structure fires, but they always bring a trailer there, and so you can just fill out the scene. So I'm not feeling like we'd have to pay for that one. We could probably wait a couple of years and see when that becomes a high priority and try for it. And then once I do, if I don't get it, then we'll probably start just discussing, okay, let's buy one, because it is something that we should have. And then the last grant was the OTA grant. That is the Office of Transportation. That's the one that purchased our, he put in for that grant. I'm not too familiar with it. And we got it last year. It just closed. So I believe we can put in again shortly. And then we'll be able to put in for some extrication tools to put on our new engine. And that's where we're at with our grants.
Any technical questions from board members? Do you want to add something?
I did. I wanted to have Steve talk about one item. So I think it was the wildfire prevention grant. When that's the one that we talked about at the last meeting when you weren't able to make it. Is that right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so there were some questions about the timing of the resolution.
Yeah.
Can you kind of explain why that took place that way?
So when I got that grant packet from the city of Mount Shasta, that was from the last cycle that they had this grant open. It was required when you submitted the grant. This time, it wasn't on the grant under the program for me to have to upload it. But it was something I was a little concerned about, them asking for it beforehand on the last cycle, that they might come back and be like, hey, we need this right now.
Oh.
So I thought just kind of preventative measures to get it done now. It's not typically how we do things. Usually we do those resolutions after we're awarded them, but I just didn't want to hurt our chances because I felt like this grant was pretty important to make sure I had all my ducks in a row and all the paperwork done that they might request.
Okay. Any comments? Back to the board, anything?
No.
I gotta say that we as a community count on you getting grants, and the fire and the police department also getting grants, because we can't afford to supply all of the equipment that both departments need. So I appreciate all the time and effort it takes to apply for these grants and to try to get coverage for the equipment and everything that we need to be, you know, a even better supplier of police and fire services. So thanks for all the time that both departments put into getting those grants. Sure. Appreciate it.
Can I add something that's not on that?
Sure.
It's not tied to grants though, but it's kind of tied to money. So our fire engine, the 3118, our strike team engine, the one that we sent out, not our new one, but the older one.
Yeah.
I believe it's a 99 or an 01. It's a Westmark. It's taken a beating. It took a really good beating this year, locally too. We had a giant boulder roll down the hill on the Solis fire and smash into the side of it. And so we got to send in for repairs, but that was an engine that we bought from Fremont. It was their decommissioned. They had determined it was at the end of its useful life, and then we got a bunch more life out of it. So that being our main strike team engine, it's kind of on our radar that we're gonna have to replace that coming up probably soon. I'm really trying to avoid sending out our brand new engine on strike teams, because they go into places that engines you wouldn't think would be able to make it. We started looking around just to see where we were at as far as used engines. I sent a message out to about 20 chiefs through the state who had just taken ownership of new engines to see if their old one is up for sale. I haven't heard anything back. We did find a used one through the used marketplace. It was a 2021, same exact engine that we just bought, the BME. It sold for $399,000. We bought our brand new one for $364,000. So I asked him to repeat that to me. I said, we just took ownership of one last October and we paid $364,000. And he said, well, they're $600 now. He said, they're $600 and they're 4 years out, brand new. So apparently our engine has appreciated quite a bit in value.
Sitting here is worth more.
By a couple $100,000.
Wow.
So just to let you guys know, we're starting that search of trying to find an engine. If I could, I was hoping I could find one for around $100, maybe. But if we can find a used one, it's probably something that we'll bring up to you guys about possibly purchasing and then selling 3118. That's it.
Wow. I'm sorry. That now $600,000, my jaw dropped. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm picturing that a great deal of the engine is made from steel, and steel has become quite a bit more expensive than it used to be. I'm thinking that's probably part of it.
I talked with Burton's. They carry Rosenbauer engines, and they're supposed to take on the new CAL FIRE contract for their engines. And I asked them, I said, are you guys going to let departments piggyback on to those orders, because that's how we got 3110. Yeah. And he said, yeah, but it's not going to be $450,000. And then he started laughing. and he's Whoa. and So the other thing we're hearing is the chassis, they're not a real high priority. So international, it's kind of like their priority is sending their chassis to other things, whatever uses international. Fire departments are kind of last. So those chassis are 4 years out right now. So I don't know if the price increase is from that or just a little bit of everything.
But. Yesterday I talked with Golden State Fire Apparatus, and they're switching to a more environmental friendly chassis, whatever that means. So the chassis is basically the frame with the engine and the cab. The box is built on after, that's where all the fire hose and everything goes. So there's some environmental regulations that are changing that are also adding quite a bit of cost to the engines. Oh.
I'm trying to understand what environmental changes that would be to a chassis.
I think it's probably a lot of it's got to do with emissions with the diesel.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's what he told me. And so it's not only the cost, but they're in this changeover process right now that's adding years to the availability of these chassis. And that was with 3110, the original delay was they couldn't get our chassis, supposedly. And so that's like Chief had talked about, it was that they allocate only so many chassis to the fire departments or that type of truck, wherever they're built at. I think they're built in Mexico and then shipped up.
I'm so grateful you got the engine when you did.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish we would have got two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Thank you. Thank you for that report. Okay. And now for the much anticipated Shastina West subdivision.
Another one that you guys have heard a lot about for a long time.
Yeah.
We've reached the end. They have done everything that we've asked them to do. The two final steps were sanitizing the system and testing it. And we did that, I think, 2 weeks ago and got a good result on the bacteriological test. They flushed it out. It's a good thing they flushed it out because when they started, it was murky. In those pipes. I've got a picture of one of the first jars that came out and it wasn't good. So anyway, that's done. The really last process was making sure that all the easements were in order to be able to maintain the system. And Margaret took a look at those and gave her blessing to it, and it's ready to go. So now the last step is for us to approve acceptance of that system, and then I'll send that off to the county, and they'll proceed with the final map recording, and after that's done, the developer will be responsible to pay for all the standby fees going forward for each lot. There's 15 lots, I think, so.
I immediately thought about our office staff once again. Collecting the standby fees.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's easy. You know, there will be no building on there until all those, you know, if your concern is that there's delinquency on the standby fees.
And we are only supplying sewer and water. That's our involvement.
And we won't be supplying any, I mean, there will be no water consumed until they build on them. So.
Right. Right, and no structures to, and homeowners to protect until there are people, you know, structures and people move in. So that's a long way down the road, and I'm pretty sure they haven't secured everything they need to build. But this is just our piece.
Yes.
Right. Any technical questions from the board members?
I have one.
Okay.
Out of care. Okay, to our general manager, I'm curious about the standby fees. Are they going to pay just the normal standby fee times 14, or did we make some agreement with them that they could get a special rate because they're not accepted?
No, it's the normal standby fee.
And just, what would like that number else. Look like then in additional revenue to our current?
Yeah, I don't have that number off the top of my head. Tara might have a better idea.
Well, it would be 36 times 15, whatever. I mean, right, because it's a month. Are we doing commercial or are we residential?
No, it's residential.
It's residential, yeah. So every three... it's not that much.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Not that much at all.
No,
$33.
Well, 18 and 20. Water is 18.
38.
20, so 38.
And fire, well, fire and police.
Oh, you were doing that as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, okay.
They're the same as any other lot in the okay. district.
So 125 $50 twice a year. $38
is all.
No, no.
Hang on, Director Cope.
251 times 15.
251 annually?
Correct.
Yeah, 251 annually.
Time for every lot.
Yes.
And there are how many lots in this?
14 or 15.
Okay, 14 or 15.
3,700.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In my head.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other technical questions from board members? Comments? Okay. So a discussion from the board about this resolution that's been submitted to us.
We've been working on it for 10 years.
15 years.
Oh, all right. Well, then I guess I'm looking for a motion to approve resolution 7-25. Accepting the water and wastewater systems in the Shastina West subdivision. I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we pass resolution 725.
Thank you, Director Utah.
I'll second.
Director Cump seconds the motion. Any further discussion? All right, then all in favor?
Director Mitchell, since we have somebody on the phone, we probably need to do a roll call.
Okay, thank you. So we'll need a roll call for approval first of resolution 7-25 for the community Lake Shastina Community Services District accepting the water and wastewater systems in the Shastina West subdivision.
Director Chandler's absent. Director Cupp?
Aye.
Director McIntosh?
Aye.
Director Mitchell?
Aye.
Director Utek?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion carries 4-0. And wow, that is a long time coming.
I just would like to make a quick comment to our staff and general manager for finally, you know, taking the time to get this all the way through the process with the diligence that we put into it to ensure that our system would not be compromised, as well as, you know, I mean, by making sure that theirs was going to be up to our standards.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're into staff comments. Any staff wish to make comments? Board member comments. Director Cupp?
I think I'm going to pass at this time. I appreciate the patient to be by phone call today. Anyway, I'll see everyone next month.
Okay.
I want to thank Stephen. The report that our fire crew did on these fires are an example of the standard that our chief sets for the volunteers. Without his leadership, we might not got that such a good report. Thank you, Stephen.
Appreciate it. I give all the credit to them, though. They're a good crew.
Director Utah.
That must have been a heck of a helicopter ride, too.
I'm a little jealous. Well, I'm not jealous because I'm scared of helicopters, but I would have been jealous back when I was on strike teams because I've never heard of that. It's super cool.
All right, well, we are and maybe I'm being premature about this, but we are heading into holiday season. Well, anytime you start seeing advertisements for pumpkin spice and anything, I think of the holiday season. So here we go. Everyone hopefully stay safe over whatever holiday is coming our way, and there are plenty of them, and hope to see everybody next month. So I'm now adjourning the meeting of the Lake Shasta Community Services District. Our next regular meeting is scheduled to be held on October 15, 2025, 1 p.m. at the Admin Building.